Health Buzz with Dr. Jim Keeney at www.jim.md.
Hi, this is Dr. Jim Keeney with the Health Buzz podcast at www.jim.md. Thanks for joining us. If you want to subscribe, you know, it's free. Just go to the webpage in the upper right-hand corner and click on subscribe, and you'll get these new updates downloaded to your iTunes for free. Today, we're going to talk about electromagnetic fields, or EMF, and hybrid cars. There's been some news recently in the New York Times and other outlets that raise a urban legend type concern for electromagnetic fields. Are they harmful? And could you potentially be putting yourself at risk when you're driving in your hybrid vehicle? First of all, what the heck are EMFs, or electromagnetic fields? You know, there's many types, but typically these are associated with the transmission of electricity. And electricity, as it moves through a wire, makes a magnetic field, and therefore they call it electromagnetic fields. Now, there's all kinds of electromagnetic fields, ranging from the electricity that we have in the wall to extreme ionizing radiation. So you have microwaves, which is in the 2.5 billion hertz range, to electricity in your walls, which is in the 60 hertz range. And all can have different and varying effects. But today we're kind of focusing in on the electromagnetic fields associated with electricity. Now, it's interesting because you do generate electromagnetic fields as your radial tires spin on your car. So even a non-hybrid car is producing these electrical fields because the spinning of the wires inside the tires will do that. And the power generated is similar to the power generated by electrical transmission. I'm going to give you the bottom line right here, right now. And then if you'd like, you can listen to a more detailed conversation I had with Dr. Robert Goldberg. He is a specialist, a PhD in electromagnetic fields. He contracts with government agencies to provide them with the latest data on electromagnetic fields. The bottom line is, after three decades of research, the studies don't show any significant connection between electromagnetic fields and health problems. The one area that really remains open and in question is childhood leukemia. The studies where they actually measure electrical fields in homes and then look for increases in leukemia show no increase. But when you use a different kind of study where they take a map and they lay it over the grid of the electrical grids, the electrical wires in a community, and then they look along those map grids for increases in leukemia, they do find an increased risk. Now, we're talking a rare cancer. It's the number one cancer in children, but thank God it's very rare. We're talking about 1 in 100,000, somewhere in that range. And this doubles the risk, 2 in 100,000. So you see that doubling the risk sounds very bad. But when you're talking about a very rare event, that's not always a significant finding. You know, for example, if I give you 2 lottery tickets, do you really feel like you're just at a dramatically increased chance of winning the lottery that week? When you look at studies like cigarette smoking and the cause of lung cancer, and you remember that was debated hotly for many years, even though it was pretty obvious that cigarette smoking caused lung cancer, we were talking in that case a 20 times risk increase, that you had 20 times the risk of lung cancer if you smoke. So clearly, electromagnetic fields and childhood leukemia are not even close to those type of numbers. So the bottom line here is that electromagnetic fields do not cause any significant health risk. And all these studies, there's, again, 3 decades of studies, they exposed bacteria, they exposed cell lines, they exposed small animals to very, very high electromagnetic fields, much higher than you would experience in a car, in your home. And yet they failed to find any significant problems there. So first, let's hear a word from our sponsor, and then you can hear directly from Dr. Goldberg, his take on this issue. Today's show is sponsored by Aveeno Baby. Aveeno Baby offers a complete line of baby skincare products to cleanse and moisturize baby's delicate skin. Aveeno Baby products are specially formulated with natural oat to provide daily care for baby's skin and to soothe and relieve dry skin. Aveeno Baby and Health Buzz, a perfect combination for your baby. I'd like to welcome Dr. Robert Goldberg. He is the author of the EMF Health Report, and as I said earlier, a consultant to government agencies and others interested in learning about EMF. And he was kind enough to give me his time and explain to me the intricacies of electromagnetic fields. You can read more about Dr. Goldberg and his organization at infoventures.com. If you want to specifically look at EMF, it's /EMF. So infoventures.com/EMF. Dr. Goldberg, what can you tell us about your organization's purpose and goals?
We have been monitoring EMF research. I've been doing it for about 22 years now, the company about 25. And we're basically interested in EMF bioeffects across the whole frequency spectrum, the low frequency fields up to radio frequency and microwave. We work mainly on government contracted work and private work, where we're really trying to do an objective assessment of the research literature.
I notice you have a newsletter. Who's that newsletter geared towards?
It tends to attract people who have some professional involvement. It's intended to be sort of a general information service for people who may not have a very strong background in the biological sciences to explain some of the issues, health-related issues, both in the positive and negative sense. As you probably know, there's concern about adverse effects, but EMF is also used medically for a number of applications and seems to have a lot of potential that from the basic bioeffects that haven't been fully explored yet.
Is there a specific type of EMF that would most closely relate to the EMF given off by the battery present in a hybrid car?
Yeah, generally the EMF is considered across the spectrum, but it generally divides into the higher frequency, radio frequency, microwave, cell phones, those sort of sources, and the low frequency or extremely low frequency where people are concerned with power line fields, which in this country are primarily 60 cycles per second, 60 hertz. And the fields from electric cars cover a bit of a spectrum, but they're mostly in the low frequency or extremely low frequency range.
So it would be a car battery would be similar to the studies that have been done on electric power lines?
In general, yes. I mean, they go much lower and they go somewhat higher because it's basically a DC field and then the motor varies those fields. So you get a range of frequencies rather than predominantly 50 or 60 hertz power frequencies.
People get these EMF devices that are actually able to measure EMF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gauss meters, yeah.
So are you saying that that might change as they drive down the freeway? Would it go up or down?
Well, generally, the magnetic fields, which is what those meters are measuring, relate to the amount of current that's passing through wires and the distance from those wires and to some extent configuration, because you get a cancellation with power systems. You have positive and negative, which will cancel each other out to some extent. What you're really getting in terms of the variation is the frequency will change depending on a variety of factors having to do with what motors are running at a given time. And then also the amount of current will vary. So in a conventional car, for example, with a battery in the rear, you get the strongest fields from the cables when you're first starting the car, and then not as much after that.
Okay.
With the electric cars, it would tend to fluctuate depending on whether you're operating on battery power or you're operating on the engine power. In the case of hybrids, the gas engine power. It would depend on how fast you're going, how much demand you're putting on the motor.
This is why I thought, hey, maybe there is some legitimacy here that I should look into a little bit further, is that power lines are normally so far away, and that I would imagine electromagnetic fields decay similarly to other types of radiation, and so that distance is a big protective factor. And here in the car, you're potentially sitting, you know, the backseat passengers may be sitting with their back nearly against the battery.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a really difficult situation in terms of assessing the risk, because basically what we know is that there's an epidemiologic correlation between living near power lines and risk of childhood leukemia. And this started with power line studies in the U.S., but now there are about 150, 200 studies all around the world that basically are coming up with the same correlation. So even though the power lines are pretty far away, for people who are near enough to be picking up something on the order of 3 or 4 milligauss as a fairly average level of exposure from the power lines, there's a correlation with a higher incidence of specifically childhood leukemia.
Hmm.
And this is a very difficult thing to explain because the fields are so low. And when you do the usual sort of animal experiments where you expose a group of rats or mice to similar field levels or much higher field levels, you just don't clearly see the same effect. So nobody's quite sure what this is about. the protective guidelines for electric and magnetic fields are all based on more short-term effects that occur at much higher levels. So, for example, when the magnetic field is inducing electric currents in the body that might simulate nerve signals, you get obvious effects that are easy to measure and relatively easy to protect against.
And what level is that?
Well, that's much higher. I mean, we're talking about thousands of milligauss.
For example, an MRI, what level would that be?
You can actually get up to close to those levels, but the field characteristics are different, and usually you can avoid any sort of neural or muscular stimulation.
Okay.
But magnetic resonance imaging is done with a static field, that is, it doesn't vary much in time.
Looking on some of the blogs, I've seen that people are saying that with their Gauss meters, they're measuring up to 25 milligauss in the back seat of their Prius.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think at that kind of levels, are there any studies that we already know that at 3 to 4 milligauss, children may be affected.
Right, but that's long-term and fairly constant. We don't really know what the effects of coming near a higher exposure for a short period of time are.
Right.
In other words, everybody walking around using a computer, using a coffee grinder or coffee maker, you know, you're exposed to fields that high for brief periods of time all the time. You really don't have any evidence one way or another whether those are more or less dangerous.
Yeah, I guess parents are more concerned when they're driving an hour to and from work or school every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that to them, I guess, seems more like a more consistent long-term exposure.
And about the closest thing to it are studies that have been done of train drivers, conductors, and people who work around electrified rail transportation.
Oh, okay.
Where the frequency of the fields aren't exactly the same, but again, you have these big currents being drawn by the electric motors, and they're there for the whole workday. And for the most part, there have been some suggestions of cancer risk, but they're not very solid. It seems about the only thing that seems clear from this EMF work is that if there is a real risk, it's pretty subtle, and it may involve an interaction with other exposures. So it's not easy to pin down. You don't see a strong effect in any group in any animal experiments.
Even the childhood studies that are showing some risk with power lines, can you put it in terms of 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you're basically, you're doubling the risk. So you're going from on the order of 2 per 100,000 to 4 per 100,000. It's very unlikely that you would see in a given case something that you could directly relate to those sort of power line exposures.
Okay.
Fortunately, childhood leukemia is a rare cancer, and people who are exposed to intense fields from power lines, it's a rare situation, and the coincidence of the two is pretty unlikely.
And how far in these studies do you have to be from power lines? I mean, we're talking they're visible from your house, or do they have to be hanging over and you can hear the buzzing?
It's a function of the magnetic field, so it depends on how much current the lines are carrying. It's not strictly related to distance. As you pointed out, the fields drop off very quickly as you move away from the lines. So, you know, it really depends on the size of the line and the distance from the line, but it's clearly an unusual situation.
And in the occupational exposure of train workers,
mm-hmm.
any numbers there that you can give as far as doubling or less than that of the risks?
For the most part, it's doubling or increasing by a factor of 3. In some studies and then other studies show no effect. So that's much less certain. The childhood leukemia figure is based on literally hundreds of studies being pooled together, and the combined population is huge. Nowhere near those numbers in the occupational studies of electric utility workers who work with live lines doing repairs or electric train workers.
If someone were to hand you a Prius for free, and you had a 4-year-old you were driving to work an hour to and from work every day, would you put them in the back seat next to the battery?
Well, I'm not sure what the configuration is in the Prius. If there's a place, obviously the back seat is the best place for a car seat.
Right.
And the risk of injury through automobile accidents, which is a well-established one, is something you would worry about much more than the possible risk of electromagnetic field exposure. On the other hand, if you could put them on one side versus another side of the seat, or find some way of re-engineering the car so that it would have an area which had lower exposure, that would probably be worth doing.
And I understand they do some kind of shielding. Is shielding very effective in that type of setting?
Shielding can be effective, but it's very expensive. The magnetic fields are not easily shielded, and there's a type of nickel alloy called mu metal that is fairly effective at shielding it, but these shields are hundreds of dollars to set up.
So online, there's some devices. You can buy these little discs for about $50, and you put six of these silicon discs across the top of the battery, and it, quote, balances the EMF fields. Do you think there's any science behind that type of product?
The science is pretty shaky. There have been some of these devices, not that one specifically, that have used sort of animal experiments to try to show that you negate the EMF effect. But since the EMF effect is hard to pin down, especially in terms of the health risks, it's very hard to prove that you're protecting against it with something like this. About the only thing you can count on reliably is if the field levels are reduced. And I believe these devices don't produce a measurable decrease in the field. They claim to rectify them or put in other frequencies or do something else that makes them biologically inactive.
Okay.
So I wouldn't go so far as to say there's no possibility that those are doing anything, but it's very hard to show, and I personally would not rely on that.
So it's not the kind of thing where you could lay these discs down and then take out your Gauss meter and confirm that everything's okay?
No, I think what they even claim in their advertising is they don't reduce the field levels. They somehow make them biologically safer.
Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're welcome. This is a very difficult area to advise people on because the risks are so uncertain and the solutions are uncertain. It really is one of those areas where people have to look at what the experiments show and make their best kind of guess as to how to proceed.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. You're quite welcome.